Well, I'd like to talk to you about James 1. And we're going to talk about three things, because somewhere somebody decided that's what preachers do. They talk about three things. But the fact is here that there are really only three things to talk about. And these are three things that are very important. Very important for the Christian, for you, for me. Very important for us to have in our life. But before we get to those, I want to confess to you that I'm not good at any of those things. I'm not good at thing one or thing two or thing three. So together we're going to look at this text and we're going to talk about what we should be like, how we should be interacting with each other, and how we should be fast listeners and thoughtful speakers and calm thinkers. And we're going to look at James 1, but before we get to that, I'd like to talk to you about submarine B-59. You may not be familiar with submarine B-59. I wasn't until recently, but submarine B-59 was off the coast of Cuba in 1962. It was not a U.S. submarine. It was a Soviet submarine. A diesel-powered submarine, and they've been underwater a long time. Now, I don't know what you get like in a cramped space, but sometimes when you're, you know, in a small space for a long time, well, some people, not you, I'm sure, but some people can get a little cranky, right? Well, in this submarine that had been underwater for a long time, it also had the unfortunate reality that the air conditioning was out. I don't know what you're like in a cramped, hot space with the air conditioning out. I become not the best Terry, right? So there they are. They're underwater. They've been underwater a long time. They're experiencing radio silence where they cannot, you know, they can't radio anybody because that would give away their position. And a U.S. destroyer discovers them. And so this U.S. destroyer begins to drop depth charges. Not to blow them up, but to get them to surface. Now, I'm going to confess to you that if I would have been in that submarine, I'd have had a hard time deciding, are they just trying to get my attention, or are they trying to blow me up? I don't know that it's possible to tell that. And so, of course, these depth charges, they spark a conversation on that submarine, don't they? The conversation is, do we surface? Do we call somebody? What's going on? Well, this conversation occurs between three individuals that are in charge there. I'm sure everybody else on that submarine was talking about the same thing. I sure would have been, if you could imagine ourselves in the submarine. But on October 27th, almost exactly this day and this month, not quite, in 1962, One man makes a set of decisions that honestly probably affect our lives even to this day. The one man, Vasily Arkhipov, is one of the three people in charge of deciding, can they launch this weapon they have on board that the United States knows nothing about? A 10 kiloton nuclear torpedo. The U.S. doesn't know they have this weapon on board, and they're not going to tell the U.S. they have this weapon on board, and they have permission to use it if three people on that submarine can agree to fire it. Now, if you're wondering, is that big or is that large? I'm not a real expert on nuclear weapons. A 13 kiloton bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. So we're talking about a significant weapon here. So the individuals throwing these depth charges over have no idea that they are taunting a very well-armed submarine. And only three people have to agree to launch this missile. The captain, we'll talk about him towards the end of our time together, the captain is vehement to launch. The second guy, bless his heart, whose name I do not know, is in favor of launching. only Mr. Arkhipov stands against the launching of that missile. Had that missile been launched, the United States would have surely retaliated, and Russia would have surely retaliated the retaliation, and our lives might look very different today, but for one man in a submarine off the coast of Cuba. One person who is a good listener, one person who is a thoughtful speaker, one person who is slow to become angry, who is a calm thinker, one person can change the trajectory of the world? I think he did. And in our context, one person who has those characteristics can influence the world in the correct direction when so many people have none of these characteristics. It should be us. It should be us in the church that have these characteristics. We should be the ones that are fast listeners. We should be the ones that are thoughtful speakers. And for goodness sakes, we should be the ones that are calm thinkers. Well, the book of James is an interesting book. If you've not read it in a while, I would encourage you to do so. It's very short and incredibly full of very practical advice. Sometimes the Bible's hard to understand, isn't it? I mean, I do this for a living and I don't understand things, right? But the fact is that there's nothing difficult to understand about the book of James, particularly these verses that we're going to read. The half-brother of Jesus, James, was not a follower of Jesus during his earthly ministry, but after the resurrection of Christ, the half-brother of James becomes a prominent leader in the Jerusalem church. You see him show up in Acts a bunch, the council at Jerusalem and a bunch of other places. And James is quite the influential leader in Jerusalem. Amazing transformation. And he writes this book, a practical, godly advice that is incredibly appropriate in today's setting. That's the thing that amazes me about Scripture. It is so timeless. These teachings are like they were written for us today. Well, if you take a look at the first chapter of James, we're just going to read a few verses, beginning with verse 19. Dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Okay, let's take some notes. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Well, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let's talk about being a fast listener. You've been around those people, haven't you? When you talk to them, you know that they're tuned in to you, that they're listening to you talk, not just hearing your words, but absorbing the whole conversation. But you've been around the other person too, haven't you? Where you're talking to them and they're somewhere else. We should be the ones. We should be the ones that are fast listeners. We're quick to listen. Romans 10:17 talks a little bit about what we should be listening to. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Certainly, we should be quick to listen to the word of God. And it's not that we are just going to accept everything we hear. We're going to run it through this filter of the Word of God to discern what is true and right and just. But part of the discipline of listening, in my view, then, is to both honor the person speaking to you and to run it through that filter of the Word of God. I've got to tell you that it's easy for me to be quick to listen when someone's telling me something I want to hear. Oh, I want to hear that. Thank you. But it's difficult for me to be quick to listen when someone's telling me something that's difficult to hear. Or when someone's telling me something that I'm not particularly in agreement with. Or when someone's telling me something that is clearly true but is hard to swallow. We need to be quick listeners. Friends, our society, our world is full of speakers. We need to be known as listeners first, as people who are fully engaged in the conversations of the day. And by the way, just as we leave this comment of listening, can you be careful what you're listening to? What you're feeding your mind? And make sure that those things that you're listening to are complementing the work of Christ within you. Well, we're going to be quick listeners. There's not a lot to say about that. We need to listen. We need to listen. We need to not be formulating what we're going to respond, or not be thinking about something else, or not be mentally elsewhere. The popular thought today is that we can multitask. You hear people say that all the time, don't you? I'm multitasking. Oh, like texting and driving, you're multitasking. We all know that turns out well. Oh, multitasking is really simply not paying attention to the primary task you should be doing. As a matter of fact, there are some interesting authors out there that are actually refuting the ability of the human mind to really focus on more than one thing at a time. I'm grateful for that because I struggle to focus on one thing at a time. And so the fact that smart people are telling me it's okay, I'm only human, is kind of making me feel a little better. But when we're in conversation, when we should be listening, and the TV's on and the phone's in our hand, are we? Quick to listen. Well, all right, so we're going to listen. But there's more, isn't there? James just won't stop. Because now he says we've got to be thoughtful speakers. Oh, could we just be thoughtful speakers? Could we just think about what we're saying a little bit? Now, it doesn't mean not to speak, does it? James doesn't say, don't speak. He says, be slow to speak. Be thoughtful about what you're going to say. It's not that we don't speak. We must speak. Christians must be speaking in the public arena. We have much to say and much to contribute, but we must do so in a thoughtful way. Some of the people I admire most that have mentored me and been patient with me are those that are so thoughtful when they speak. James 3, just a little later in this very same book, verse 9, interesting verse, or verses. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and... So here we are, praise in this hand, and with it we curse human beings. Uh-oh. Who have been made in God's likeness? Hold on to that thought a moment. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Both fresh water and salt water. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Of course not. Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So I heard you. We were here together. We were singing praises together. So we're praising God our Father. And then, according to this scripture, we thoughtlessly then curse human beings. Well, let's say that someone's in conversation with my wife and I, and they come up and they say, Jackie and Terry, we think the two of you are just wonderful. Well, we like that, right? We like that very much. And so we talk a little bit, and they say how nice we are and how much they appreciate us. And then they say, but those kids of yours, they are out of control. They're terrible. We don't like having them around. They just bother me. So we walk away from that. By the way, our kids are all adults, and they're pretty good kids. They were a little squirmy, but they're okay. They're okay. Now, when Jackie and I walk away from that conversation, do you think I'm going to say, did you hear all the nice things they said about us? They like us. No. I'm going to be frustrated. They're talking about our kids. Because I don't know about your kids, but our kids are pretty amazing, right? Because it's a part of us. They're a part of who we are. And as we interact with each other, God says, you just praised me. You just thanked me for all that I provided for you. And now you're talking to one of mine like they're terrible. Unacceptable. James sees this. One of the themes of James is fascinating to me. One of the themes of James is what? That all of us, no matter who we are, what our background is, or where we come from, all of us have a place at the table of the Lord and should be treated equally and with respect. We should be thoughtful speakers. Well, I'll tell you that I regularly fail to measure my speech. And, you know, trying to take that thing you just said back, it's like trying to unring a bell, isn't it? I mean, there's no unring. It's like trying to unsend that email. Now, I know that there are some technologies out there that we'll go out and get them. I worked at a school once, and the person sent out an email that they did not understand what it meant, right? You ever do something like that? Then someone explained to them what it meant, and then they were shocked that their name is now attached to this email. So, of course, IT went out and pulled them all back, but what they didn't know is that a bunch of us took screenshots of that as soon as it hit the system, right? Because it was like, that's not what that means, and we're going to remember all that. That'll be fun. You can't take it back. It's out there. You can't post something on social media and it goes away. You can't say something and it's gone. We've got to think carefully. Be careful. Measure our speech. Well, we do have four children, and they're grown adults now, all doing amazing things. But when they were little, especially the oldest one, when he was the only one, times were tough. Money was tight. So we would buy a gallon of milk, and then we would buy powdered milk, and, you know, mix it, and then mix them together. And if you kind of convinced yourself that it was okay, it was sort of okay. It wasn't like milk, but it was all right, especially on cereal and stuff. Well, our four-year-old child is watching this occur on a regular basis. We're mixing the milk and stuff, so he decides, you know, probably to, you know, catalog that for a future time. So the other issue that I need to say is a bit of a background to this story is that I'm adopted. I was raised by World War II generation, greatest generation parents. And that really has formed my worldview. And part of my worldview is if it's on your plate and it's not a fork, you better eat it. not moving around or, you know, nothing. You better eat it. That's just in my head. There's nothing I can do about that. So there we are at the breakfast table, and our oldest, Nathan, sitting there, and you've seen the look on somebody's face when they're eating something that they dislike, but it's a bowl of cereal with milk on it. We've had this before. Eat your cereal. No. Eat the cereal. Bless his heart. Always has been attempting to do what's expected of him. So I watch him take a bite of that cereal, and oh, it's just really getting to him. I'm like, what in the world? So I try the cereal. Whoa. So just a little culinary tip for free. If you run out of powdered milk, baking soda is a bad substitute to make your milk go farther. But bless his four-year-old heart, white powder, it's surely all going to taste the same. And let me tell you, the fact that he consumed three or four bites of that impresses me to this day. It was terrible. Terrible. It was the wrong ingredient. It was poorly measured. Even the best recipes, if the ingredients are poorly measured, or if the substitute is baking soda for powdered milk, it's terrible. It's the wrong measurement. We measure our words. We filter them correctly. We put the right ingredients together in our speech so that those around us aren't consuming bowls full of powdered baking soda milk. Well, we're going to be quick to listen, and we're going to be thoughtful speakers, and we're going to be calm thinkers. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, that's not me adding the ands, they're all there, be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So as we're being quick to listen and thoughtful in our speech, can I ask you to watch how much your emotion carries you along? You know, I cannot really think of a time where I've said something in anger that I'm proud of, or that honored my family, or was a good example to our children, or even honored our Heavenly Father. I suppose I could think of something. There are times when you say things when you're angry that need to be said, but those are so far and few between, aren't they? My office, there is a silver platter. I think it's plated silver. Not very excited about that, but it's a silver platter. And a golden apple, it's not real gold. That would be a nice gift, by the way, I think. I'm hoping someday to get that golden apple, but it's a fake golden apple. Both those items sit in my office for a very specific reason, because Proverbs 25:11 says, the right word, spoken at the right time, is as beautiful as gold apples in a silver bowl. You see that picture? I didn't have a silver bowl, I had the platter. So we went with the platter and the fake golden apple, because I need to remind myself to speak the right word at the right time. Let's close looking at a few cases just very quickly here. You know, some people say, well, you know, it's just kind of how I'm wired. I'm a fiery person. I speak my mind. I don't want anybody to wonder what my opinion is. Well, okay. So Paul in Acts 9 is an interesting individual. Before he's converted to Christ, Acts 9 describes him as breathing threats and murder. Ever been around somebody that's breathing threats? breathing threats of murder. And yet, in 1 Corinthians 13, the words that are read at almost every wedding about love, you know, not dishonoring others, not being self-seeking, not being easily angered, keeping no record of wrongs, that's the same guy changed by the Spirit of God. John's an interesting fellow. In Luke 9, things don't go well at a city that the Jesus and the disciples are visiting. They don't go well. And John has a solution. He and his brother say, let's call down fire from heaven. let's just burn them right to the ground. That'll teach them. Bet the next town will listen. And yet this same John writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Is packed full of how God's primary characteristic is love and that we as believers should love each other in those senses. Well, let's end talking about the captain of submarine B-59. 1962, Captain Savitsky is one of the three decision makers. We talked about him. He is angry, according to the reports from those that were there. He is out of control, angry. He thinks World War III has started. He thinks they're trying to blow them up, and he's going to retaliate. Imagine if his anger had carried the day. And that torpedo had been launched. See, it may be that the third piece of advice, slow to anger, thoughtful thinkers, it may be that the third piece of advice makes the other two possible. That being slow to anger makes it possible for me to think about what I'm saying and to listen to those who are talking to me. It's a pleasure to have been here. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for the day. I thank you for your word and for this congregation. Lord, I pray you would bless and watch over them. Lord, I pray that you would call men and women to service in your kingdom out of this congregation. Father, I pray you would bless us today in Jesus' name.